Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and this is the Boss It Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about humour. Many of you would say that's a strange subject for me to be talking about, being in the software sector. But yes, we are going to be talking about humour and the importance for you in understanding what that can do for software vendors when they're looking to grab attention and make approach to prospects more engaging. And I've got a guest today, as I always have, Joseph Wilkins, who's an expert in this area based in Salt Lake in the USA. Hello, Joseph. Welcome to Boss It.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be here.
So how did you get started in doing funny videos, or funny sales videos, I should say?
Yeah, I'll try to condense it. So the short story is I started an agency 20 years ago producing television commercials and infomercials, you know, 30-minute long shows. Did very, very well. Our very first infomercial did over 200 million in sales. And I kind of caught the bug that if you put really good creative in front of a big audience, you can sell a lot of stuff. The problem is 15 years on, we realized that people just don't watch TV the way they used to. They certainly don't sit there with a remote control flipping through channels. And so our sales results started going down and down. And that's when we really started looking at social media as being our television, right? That's where the viewers were shifting to.
Sure.
But after testing, you know, the same kinds of videos on social media, it just didn't work. And so we started to look at, well, why are people on social media in the first place? And the answer is to be entertained. It's not to be sold or to learn about things as much. It's to have a coffee break or, you know, waste some time. And so the closer that your content can be to the reason why they're there in the first place, the more likely you are to connect. And I'll just finish with an example. So in the first 15 years, our biggest video view that we'd ever had online, using traditional, you know, what I call straight or boring type, you know, sales pitch videos, we had one video that got close to 100,000 views.
Right.
When we launched our new brand, funnysalesvideos.com, and we created a team of really good comedy writers and storytellers, our very first video campaign for a very small client hit 7 million views. Fast forward to today, our biggest campaign for a very boring subject, laundry detergent, has close to 100 million views, and more importantly, millions and millions of dollars in directly tracked sales. So we kind of feel like we've come full circle and rediscovered our infomercial successes that we used to have with huge audiences on TV. We're now getting the same thing with humor, but using social media.
As I was mentioning before we actually started recording, Boss It Podcast is for software entrepreneurs. So I can imagine that there would be a lot of those software entrepreneurs saying, that's fine, I can understand that if we're selling cornflakes or if we're doing some B2C, but you know, my software is selling for hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions. It's not the time to be funny. How would you answer that?
Totally disagree.
Good. And I love that.
And the reason why is we don't have a very defined target audience. In other words, literally anyone who's looking for a KPI, looking for some kind of a result, whether it's immediate sales, lead generation, you know, any kind of engagement, can use humor. It doesn't matter if you're selling cornflakes or an executive SaaS, you know, B2B software. The whole point is you want to do two things with your advertising. Number one, you want to disrupt and catch someone's attention. That's probably the hardest thing, let's admit it, because there's so many people doing the same thing in different platforms. But number two, you want to emotionally connect that you have a solution to the problem that they have. So set aside humor for just a second. The kinds of things that we do in our videos, the first goal is just to stop the scroll. right? To shock you, to make you laugh, to pique your curiosity just long enough, whether you're scrolling through on LinkedIn, which assuming most of your audience, that's the natural place that they would promote themselves.
Yeah, most probably.
Or an in-stream, you know, display search on the Google platforms.
Yeah. Maybe a video that would be sitting on their website somewhere, could even be on the homepage. So they're hoping to capture and hold somebody, because we know, I mean, first of all, video is engaging, because we're now talking to a generation that from probably before they could speak or talk, they're used to looking at a television.
Yes.
They've been brought up with that type of way of absorbing information. So I think that we're, you know, the generations that we're talking to now are very well attuned to absorbing information via video.
Yeah.
So I get that. But I think that there will be people, again, listening to this, who are saying, yeah, but you don't get it. I'm going to be talking to technical people. These guys are emotionless. They're just interested. They want to know facts and logic, and they don't want this humor. What would you say to that?
So I would say two things. Again, you want to play where your competitors aren't.
Yes.
So most people that are listening are probably the ideal candidate for something like this, because their competition isn't doing this kind of thing, which is by very nature going to make them stand out. Then I would say you have to be relevant. So your, you know, technical whiz kids that are the target for your audience, you have to tell a story that looks and feels like their life. So that's going to be totally different to the campaigns that we do for, you know, female B2C, you know, the laundry product that we were targeting, you know, soccer moms. That's going to be a totally different story.
If you can imagine these technical people, they're the sort of people, and they're going to be doing their coding in the dark, and they only come out into the light to watch Star Trek.
Yep. So go there, push that as far as you can. From the very first frame, make that video look like that guy. So you've got to cast the right actor that's going to feel like that guy. You've got to put them in situations that make them say, oh, somebody took the time to create a story about me. And so the more that you can dive into that customer avatar's profile, and that's the first step that we do on any of our videos, is throw out everything that we think we know and go do research. Go learn, and we will read at least 100 customer reviews before we even think we know who it is that we're talking to. The number one comment that we love getting on our videos are people saying, that's me. You've captured me, or you've captured my life or my problem, or I want to be friends with that person because you've captured me. And the reason is, well, we've done our research and we've understood, who are you? What are your problems? Obviously, we, you know, inflate them to be a little more fantastic than reality. We exaggerate them to make them funny. But at the root of every one of our videos is a real life situation and a problem that is going to be relatable to the person that actually makes them say, oh, now that I've given this video 30 seconds and it's kind of funny, I'm suddenly realizing that they're actually talking about a problem that I have. And more importantly, they do have that solution. And I'm at least going to give it another 30 seconds to see if it's actually applicable to me. And that's when you kind of, your foot is in the door.
You think the fact that you are creating funny sales videos gives you a greater opportunity to inflate that problem. You get a bit more poetic license. Whereas if you were creating a very factual, for instance, if you were creating a government information video, you wouldn't get that opportunity at all. Whereas somebody that's watching a funny video, they realize that not everything is going to be 100% accurate. You have that poetic license to exaggerate.
100%. Yes, we have the license to be able to go out and make things ridiculous to keep your attention, but they still have to be grounded, or, you know, there has to be an element of truth to everything. But yeah, people will forgive things that aren't, you know, 100% accurate, as long as the premise is, you know, we're having fun here. We're not taking ourselves too seriously.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have a good example of perhaps, and it doesn't have to be one of your clients, you know, it could be a company that has been able to leverage video. I mean, we say video commercials on TV. It's the same type of communication, but through a different channel. I can't remember the name of who it is now, but it was a jeans commercial where he goes into a launderette and he strips off. And I heard that one commercial for the company increased their sales by 800%. It was a tongue-in-cheek. It grabbed the attention of their target audience, and one commercial increased sales by 800%. Can you think of other examples?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, I don't want to toot our horn. There's many, many examples on our website of companies that have doubled sales, tripled sales, quadrupled sales.
Okay.
Literally. Brilliant. And I don't want to say that all the credit is to the video, because your viewers and listeners need to understand this isn't... When you hear me talking, don't think that what I'm saying is, if you go out and create a video, you're going to become overwhelmingly successful. No.
Good.
What this is a campaign that is fueled by the creative, but the back end is all fundamentally traditional digital advertising. So this isn't a video that you just make and put on YouTube and then, you know, go to the Bahamas for a few months and come back and all of a sudden you're wealthy, right? This is something that I call a sales conversion video that is fueled by paid ads. Yeah. So you have to have a video. I mean, the algorithms on LinkedIn, especially, and Facebook and Instagram, all these platforms, gone are the days when you can put a video on there and think that you're going to make a bunch of money without greasing their palm. You have to pay to play. So the concept is, if I was to say, you know, I'll build you a vending machine that's full of $100 bills and it only costs $20 to use it, how many times are you going to want to use that vending machine?
Sure.
That's what these campaigns are about. You have to pay to get these videos in front of a very highly targeted audience. So for your audience, you know, I'm thinking you would want somebody to build you using LinkedIn's backend platforms, a very specific, you know, I want the CTO of companies that have, you know, X amount of revenue, X amount of employees. Maybe you look at the growth trends and make sure these are growing companies. And so, you know, you're really targeting down to who it is that you want that ad shown, because you don't want to waste a penny showing up on anyone outside that group. But yes, once you've targeted that, then, you know, show that video to those people, and compared to anything else that you're doing, you know, you can't guarantee anything in this life, but we've seen, you know, fill-ins of leads, you know, clicks through to landing pages, you know, sign-ups to webinars is a great one for your kind of audience. We see those metrics just skyrocket when you put a video in front of them that is totally different than what your competitors are doing. And also the social proof, the number of likes and comments and shares, especially on LinkedIn. I mean, it's such a transparent world where people will share it and will comment on it, good or bad. And, you know, you kind of get this organic lift. So I'm not saying all of your views will be paid, but still in this world, you know, we maybe see with a really good campaign, 10% of our views coming from organic shares and likes and, and comments.
That's interesting.
But still, the lion's share is paid ads. It's about conversion.
That's an interesting stat to have, actually. I like that. It gives some idea. I mean, I think what you're saying is really important. And it sort of brings me back to something that I've been studying, well, I suppose sort of most of my career, but really in a sort of more scientific way over the last 4 years, is there is a very small percentage of software companies that have phenomenal success. I mean, they can go from startup to unicorn in less than a handful of years. And I've been, not just me, I've had researchers doing this, is looking full time, is where are those companies? What is it that they do to create that level of success? Now, it isn't simple, and I'm not going to say there was one thing that they've done, but what I can say is it's not the quality of their software that generates that success.
Yeah.
There are many other things, but one element that is very clear is to be able to generate a sufficient and constant supply of leads. And that has a massive impact throughout the organization in so many different ways. I mean, we could have a whole podcast just on that. And I see you being as part of that element, that very important element, which is being able to reach out to the right people, get their attention, get their engagement, so that they are self-registering themselves. So you've got the opportunity to start communicating with them, because most people, they will stalk many organizations. I do that. There are things that I'm thinking about purchasing, and I go on their website and I have a look at their social media and I look at reviews. They have no idea that I'm doing that because they've not quite hooked me in. But the ability to be able to reach out to the right people, to pull those people to you. And I think, you know, humor is a great tool in being able to do that. I think the other company that comes to mind is the Harry Shavers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, to me, that video made that business. There are lots of companies out there. I mean, it's quite a good idea being able to deliver those shavers, you know, directly to you and cut out the middleman and the cost.
Now, are you talking about Harry Shavers? Because I think you're talking about Dollar Shave Club.
Dollar Shave Club. Sorry, you're right. This was the guy where he's walking through the factory. Very humorous video. You're absolutely right. Dollar Shave Club. Yeah. Now, that to me, that has a big impact on the success, and that was a phenomenal success worldwide. Yes. It was humor.
Can I add to your comment about what makes successful software companies, and I would broaden it to, you know, really a lot of different verticals. It's how do they manage? Number one, it's how can they generate a ton of leads? Yes, absolutely, 100%. Number two, and I've seen this good and bad,
but not just any leads.
What do they do with that leads
from the right source?
Yes,
that's really targeted important, because otherwise you can clog the whole business up, qualifying people that aren't right,
and that goes back to how do you set up your sales funnel to be well targeted in the first place, so that you're not wasting your time talking to non-decision makers. But then once you've created an engine that gathers a ton of leads, and that's essentially what we do, what we don't do and what I am at the mercy of is, well, what do businesses do with those leads? How well do they nurture those leads?
Yes.
How do they follow up with those leads? How
yes.
do they really bring value? So many businesses are all about, now I've got you, let me sell you. No.
Yes. Yes.
Now I've got you, what can I give you? That needs to be the mentality.
Yeah.
What education, training, free trials, free, you know, seminars, whatever it is, what can you give? It's a value culture where people are too used to being pitched immediately.
Yeah. What we call that with Outsmart, where we do this strategic positioning, is the stepping stones. Is you've got their attention. You may be at that stage where you can get engagement. What's the next step? Quite often for software companies, they just want to send in the salesman to flog it to them. They want to get them onto a demo. They want to get talking to them. They haven't nurtured any form of trusted communication or any relationship. And it needs to be a small little step, an easy step to make. And that's the mistake that they make. It's a bit like, I always liken it to going to a party and meeting somebody, and they come up and they introduce themselves and they say, could I come home with you? Straight into it, you know. Yep. The answer's probably going to be no. Now and again, you're going to get somebody to say, yeah, sure. You know, you probably don't want to be going home with them anyway.
Right.
But it's just too much too quickly. They sort of, I mean, another way of looking at it, we talk about sort of crossing this river, and they bring a prospect to the edge of the river and they expect them to make this giant leap of faith.
Yeah.
People don't tend to do that. They'll make a little step with you because they're starting to find out a little bit about you.
Right.
And it's designing those steps to think about their needs. That must be frustrating for you, because I can imagine if you can create that interest, if your client that you're working with doesn't then handle it, they'll look to you and say, well, that didn't work. You've done everything you need.
Yeah, we can only fall back on, well, look how many leads we've generated for you. Look at the quality of these leads. What did you do with those?
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes we recommend that people outsource that to people that really are good at, you know, immediate follow-up. I mean, there's been studies that have been done that will say that for every second, not day, for every second that you don't follow up with somebody, because if I'm at the computer and I've just watched a video and I've filled out a lead form, there is no hotter time. I'm only going to get colder. It's like taking something out of the oven. It's never going to get hotter than at the very moment that it's taken out the oven. That's your lead the minute it's hit the submit button. And so the quicker you can get with them, whether that's, you know, with a real person or virtually or a chatbot or all of the different technologies that can be employed, the better and more likely they are to convert. The other thing I would say is, if you think, I think back to the very first time I heard about Uber, right? It was a friend telling me, are you kidding me? You've never used an Uber? Let me tell you about it. Well, you know, it's so much easier and it's quicker and it's less expensive than a rental car from the app. All of these things, they became an advocate for that because it was something that was different, had a benefit. And so the other thing that you have to do, and if you don't already have this built into the software itself, you're at a slight disadvantage, but you can still become top of mind and tip of tongue. And what that basically means is, what is it that sets you apart? What ultimately is it that makes you different? Why is your customer going to have a better life once they sign up for your software? And if that's not big enough that they're automatically talking about it, that's where creating creative, I mean, you just did it on this podcast. You just gave Dollar Shave Club a free plug. Why? It's not because their product is better. In fact, ironically, you already mentioned one of their competitors, Harry's, that does the same thing, but you remember the video, you remember the creative. And so subconsciously, you've just connected a benefit that really doesn't exist. It's just that they were remarkable, which got you talking about it. So it's now top of mind.
They made me smile.
That's what your people, your listeners can do with these kinds of out of the box, more creative videos.
I think the important thing is something that you mentioned at the start. And again, you're doing a sales pitch here, and I didn't mean this for Outsmart. Is one of the things that we work with our client and we get them to understand is, from a cognitive perspective, it is that emotional connection that is so important and what that really means. Now, in your case, that emotional connection is humor. They made Dollar Shave, made me smile. That gave me that connection. So I remember it. And it, I don't know, it's probably 4 years ago when it sort of first came out. Made me longer.
To know that it was over 10 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I can believe that, actually.
And
these
we're
things
still talking about it.
They stick in your mind and they seem more recent than they really are. Yes. That's really important.
I'll tell you a quick secret about that. Most people think that was just some guy that just grabbed a video recorder and made that off the top of his head.
Yeah.
He wasn't really, you know, he's just the average guy. Nothing could be further than the truth. He was actually a trained improv comedian during his college years. He was a member of a big, you know, improv group in New York. He was a trained actor, comedian. And so he made it look like he was just your typical CEO guy making his own video.
Yeah.
And the secret is that there's actually, for these kinds of videos, and there's a whole different, you know, smorgasbord of different kinds of videos that people should be making, right?
Yes.
The unboxing video, the testimonial video, the message from the CEO video, the, you know, and on and on and on. These kinds of videos are what we call the top of funnel video, meaning somebody knows nothing about your software. They're just scrolling through their LinkedIn feed. And you've grabbed their attention, and this is the very first impression that they get of you. And so the more tricks you can use to make that stand out, grab their attention, pique their curiosity, lure them in, these aren't the kinds of videos that you're just going to make up overnight.
No.
Our average video, and you know, companies like ours, takes us almost 6 months to go from nothing to writing the script, to finding the right actors, to, you know, filming it, editing it. We test out over 36 versions of our videos to find out which ones, using a whole bunch of different, you know, testing hooks and testing different offers. There's science behind the success that these kinds of campaigns do. So, you know, the idea that that guy from Dollar Shave Club just woke up one morning and shot a video, nothing could be further than the truth.
Did it on his iPhone, gave it to a friend. That's not what happened. No. There's people going to be listening to that and saying, well, I haven't got 6 months to spend on this, or that sounds very expensive. How would you answer that?
Well, you only invest the time and money if you want to get the results. And again, you know, back to, I don't want to our horn. I mean, companies like the Harman Brothers, who are the leading, world's leading company in doing these kinds of videos, have companies that they have literally created, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in sales with one video campaign.
Yes.
And so, you know, if your company truly does solve a problem and truly does have a well-defined target, all you need to do is connect those two things and multiply the ad spend to get the results that you're looking for. And so if you don't have 6 months, don't do one of these videos. I mean, obviously we've done them in as little as 3 months.
Yes.
And the longer that you have for anything, the better it's going to be, kind of like wine aging. And on the flip side, if you don't have the money, then, you know, again, it's all about what are the returns on what you're currently doing. If you're currently spending money on ads, then this conversation should apply to you to at least say, how can I make those ads better? How can I take that $20 that I'm put in the vending machine, and instead of the $20 or $30 or $40 that I'm currently getting out that is basically making my campaign a loss or a break even, how can I make that, you know, incredibly profitable by going from $20, $30 back to, you know, a 3, 4, 5 times return on ad spend, which is what, if you look at our LinkedIn feed, we actually just did a case study on a company that we took a brand new product and immediately got a 4.1x return on ad spend with this kind of a video, where they'd tried everything else before and hadn't got anything near that. So it's just money in, money out. Depends on, you know, what is it that you're trying to do?
Yeah. I think also so many software companies that I see, they are almost hiding their personality. And I think that this is an opportunity to say something, not just about your product or your service, but about who you are as individuals. The fact that you can go out with a funny video, as you said, there are lots of different types of humor that can be used, but it does help to project a bit of personality about the organization and the people behind it, which we've seen actually is a vital ingredient if you really want to be successful. That was one of the conclusions of our study. We created what we call the Bamboo Report. What are the things that make the very less than 1% of the software companies out there grow at phenomenal rates? I mean, if you're in the software sector, especially at the moment, you're in the right area. But if you want to be one of those top companies, the opportunities are phenomenal. The rate of growth, far more than you get in other industries. And part of that is being able to project some personality that people will remember. Again, the party analogy, going along, if you meet the grey man or woman, you're probably not going to remember them the next day, you know, very, very bland. But somebody that comes across to you as being different, you're going to remember them.
Can I give one word of caution?
Yes.
So in my opinion, the worst thing that you can do is try to be funny and end up looking silly. And I think that is the reason why a lot of companies decide not to go down this route.
Okay. Explain that one.
I think in some cases that is a wise choice if those are the only two options, right?
Yes.
You can stay as you are, or you can go out on a ledge and end up looking silly. And I'll give you an example. For the
first, I was going to ask, have you got an example? Because that's always good. It gives people context.
Well, off the top of my head, I see examples almost daily. There's a brilliant marketer called Ryan Dice. He's the founder of what's the company? They have many podcasts. I think it's digitalmarketer.com. He's the founder of the Traffic and Conversion Summit that they just had in San Diego. And he says marketing ruins everything. And what he means by that is if one person does something well, everyone jumps on it and tries to copy it.
Yes.
And they do it badly, or they do it worse than the original.
Yes.
And so people start to tune it out. It becomes less effective.
Yes.
And so what I mean with that caution is we have found, and we, you know, we're the same. We are copying. In fact, we've gone through the mentorship program that the Harman brothers have put on. And that's where we get a lot of what we do. So credit to them. And for anyone that's listening, that's interested in learning more, Harman Brothers University, I'm not paid to say that, is one of the best investments that I've ever made to really learn about what it is that we're talking about. But if I see every day on my social media feed, companies that are trying to be funny, that just, it falls flat. It ends up looking silly. And it's because of one of two reasons. Either number one, and this is probably the most common reason, the writing wasn't good enough in the first place.
Yes.
They didn't have a script that was ready to go produce. A lot of people think, well, if I just write a kind of funny script that makes me laugh, or, you know, I read it to my wife and she laughs, then it's good to go. No, it's only good to go when you show it to cold traffic and they laugh and they like it and they ask buying questions after watching it, such as, so how do I get it? How much does it cost? You know, things like that.
Okay.
If they're there left saying, wait, what did I just see? What was that product? You know, what's the problem it solves? Then you've lost. So you have to test your script on your customer. Now that can be as simple as, you know, calling up 10 of your customers and saying, hey, I'm going to email you over a script. I just want your advice on it. Or it could be the next time a customer comes into your office, can I just take 3 minutes and have you read this script? And you're not really looking for what they say. You're looking for what they do. You're looking for, do they smile while they're watching the script? Do they, you know, bonus points if they laugh? And so we never take our script into production until we know it's ready. And a big element of that is that we don't write our scripts ourselves. And your customers shouldn't either, unless, like the Dollar Shave Club, they are trained improv comedians that have really good experience. And so we've taken a long time to create a virtual writer's room where we hire trained comedy writers. A lot of these are stand-up professional comedians that during the night they travel, or they are doing gigs in different cities, and during the day they're traveling, and so they write for us while they're on the road. Or we have, you know, people that work on cruise ships that write for us during the day when they're not working. So you want to make sure that you have really good writers, and then that you test that writing on the target avatar that you want to respond. And the second thing that we say is, don't ever try to act in your own commercials. Again, you're not the Dollar Shave Club CEO guy with his experience. We interview and audition and screen close to 100 actors before we pick our main characters for our videos, because we're looking for that programmer in the basement watching Star Trek, right? I've got to make sure that I pick the right actor that's going to resonate with that person.
Yes.
If you don't get good writing and good actors to deliver that writing, your campaign will fall flat. Everything else, I would say, the filming, the editing, you can get away with, you know, doing that yourself or hiring people that aren't maybe the best of the best at that.
Yeah.
As long as you got those other two things, you'll be forgiven of that. Obviously, the best world scenario is, you know, get the best people to do everything. But I would say that's the reason why a lot of videos fall flat, is because when I watch them, the writing wasn't good enough and the acting isn't good enough.
Good tips.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, that's fine. That was good. That was good information. When is a sales video not appropriate?
Honestly, I've yet to find it. I have seen videos done by other agencies doing anything from funeral service companies, which you would think never, never, never do that. And they've actually done it well. It's
got away with it.
It's not about not appropriate. It's about, was it done well enough? Did it do justice to the story, to the audience? You know, it's got to be funny without being offensive to the audience. You know, it may be offensive in some ways, but just not offending the audience. And it also has to be not offending enough to get flagged on Facebook or LinkedIn. You know, they have very strict policies. So don't waste your money producing an ad that you won't be able to end up using.
I think probably refer to Ricky Gervais He does actually a comedy sketch, and he's talking about there is nothing that you can't make a joke about. It's the intent, and it's how you deliver it. And I think there would be a similar parallel there with funny videos.
I agree. And again, you'll find that out if you run the script past your audience before you take it into production, because they'll tell you if they like it, if they don't like it, if they're offended by it, if they think it's funny. And so, yeah, I think comedy, in fact, the Harmon brothers say this, comedy makes the risky safe. I mean, think about stand-up comedians that go to politically incorrect places, but because they're using humor, they can talk about things that on, you know, a news program you would never dream about addressing.
Absolutely. It helps break down barriers, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, which is very, very good. You've made some excellent points today, Joseph, and I'm sure that there will be some people who will be intrigued by what you've said, and it will probably be starting them to want to inquire a little bit. If somebody wants to reach out to you, what would be the first step in looking at the potential of funny videos in the sales of Bear software?
So first thing I will say is, if you're going to do something like this, do us all a favor and make sure you do it right. Now, that doesn't mean hire us. That means make sure you do it right.
Yes.
And so what we've done is we've created a free ebook that anyone can download.
Okay.
That basically steps them through what they should really consider before, during, and after producing one of these videos, whether they try to do it themselves in a low budget, you know, use your own iPhone, which people have done successfully. I mean, let's face it, an iPhone today is what I paid $50,000 to get the same quality 20 years ago when I started. It's amazing the technology
it is. Absolutely.
That is in your pocket these days. So the excuses have kind of gone to I can't do this. But download our free ebook. It's called How to Make a Funny Sales Video Without Hiring Us. It's at the bottom of the page at funnysalesvideos.com. If you want to talk to us, you know, we kind of claim our space is not the best at doing this, but the most affordable if you want the better end of the scale, if that makes sense. And you can just get in contact with me. Just fill out the form at funnysalesvideos.com. Again, everything's basically on that homepage. Watch examples of our videos, take a look at case studies, and we'd be happy to chat with you.
Okay, that's brilliant. Well, what we'll probably do is we'll put a link up after this podcast so that people will be able to do that. So if you send that link across to me, we'll make sure that that's published. You've been in the industry a long time. Just finally, to finish on a point to finish on, what's the biggest lesson that you've ever learned in this area?
That you can never stay still. And I think that just translates across any industry, especially in the software industry. But, you know, if I was still doing today what I started my business to do 20 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be working for the man. I wouldn't still be, you know, 20 years later running my own business. And so learning to look at the trends, look where things are going. I mean, 10 years ago, we were saying, how do we get away from the fact that people are buying TiVo and DVRs and fast forward through commercials? That's going to kill us. That's all we did at the time. So we had to reinvent ourselves. And we've gone through that probably 4 or 5 times. And I dare say we will continue to reinvent ourselves as, you know, people continue to screw up funny videos and people end up getting tired of them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hopefully they won't. But I think you've given some excellent advice today. As I said, I'll give a link at the end. But thanks very much for coming on today. We'd never met before. And I didn't really know what to expect, but it has been enjoyable. And I think we're aligned on many of the things that you've been talking about. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Mark.
That was the Boss It podcast. Funny sales videos, an important element if you really want to be able to stand out in your market, create some engagement, grab attention. You know, you need to make it relevant and you need to be able to go where those ideal prospects are. But if you can put all that together, then I think it is a means of really being able to make a substantial difference within your business. Thanks very much for your time today. Stay safe and successful. Thank you.